up, sports fans, and welcome back to Low Expectations, the Gruder Golf Podcast, brought to you by the No Laying Up Podcast Network. Tonight you've got Haley.
Hello.
Kiki.
Hey.
And me, Jen. And a very special guest, but before we get to that, a couple of announcements. The first one is beanies. Unless you're living under a rock, you know that we have launched our pink beanie, our 2022 Legend Cuff Beanie, the company that makes it as Legend, out of Cleveland, aka home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So if you know, you know. They're awesome. I've been wearing them nonstop. You're going to love them too. If you want one, grab one at grudergolf.com. We also just arrived in the post, had the denim ones come in. That was phrased so poorly.
But I was not sure what you meant, what arrived in the post.
we just had arrived in the post. I really wanted to say the post. But anyway, so they're like a blue, it's like a different blue. They're all very chic. You're going to really love them. Those are the beanies. That's the announcement. The other announcement, we're going on spring break. So it's filling up really fast. You know, it's girls only, chicks only, femmes only, women, peoples only. We're going to Casa de Campo in the Dominican Republic, March 10th through 13th. And we want you to come. And we also want our guests to come. And we're going to tell you who she is now, even though you probably read the title of the episode. I always act like this is a big reveal.
It is.
But today we have Liz Breed, an icon of the golf game. Liz is an unabashed hottie, and she cranks out some of the most inspiring content on the internet. But wait, there's more. She's a Kentucky grad, professional golfer, and teaching professional at the C. Wayne Club outside of NYC. And she's got a background in journalism. So this girl just does it all, you guys. She's a lifelong golfer, super passionate about making the game more accessible, inclusive, and just like overall way cooler. And we're just lucky to have her in the world and on our show. So Shane Haney, welcome to Low Expectations. Again, a repeat.
Howdy, y'all. Yeah, I think we're just after. I think
we loved her so much.
We had her back. A year and maybe almost to the date that it was a year that we recorded this last year. And nothing new, honestly, like nothing new. Nothing's changed with me.
It very well might have been.
But
oh my God. She's lying, folks. Yeah,
that's not true.
I have.
She's lying right to your faces, right to your ears.
Right to your damn
I know it changed
faces.
Right off the bat in the past year. And the fact that you now go by Shank Haney in some circles, so we just want to hear about it. How did that come about, and how did you land on Shank?
Yeah, so Shank Haney was a collaboration with fellow Gruder fanatic, the Bag Bandit, Connor. So Connor and I, so I was actually on one of their guests on their podcast, on the Group Golf Therapy podcast.
You were great there, by the way.
Thank you. It was... You know, I feel like I just get better and better. The camera's on, I get better. You know what I mean?
Love that. That's a skill. Sought out.
So I feel like, you know, like golf has been my entire life since I was so young. And I feel like in the last really year, 2 years, that I finally feel like I can say all these things that I've had bottled up. Like, 13-year-old Liz could never say. So now almost 30-year-old Liz can be like, you guys suck, or, you know, whatever. So I was kind of jokingly was talking to him about this. And I was like, you know, I really want to like change my name to like something golf related. And I was like, it's got to be about Shank. And he was like, okay, we were like kind of going back and forth. At first, I was going to do Tudor McGavin, but that was already taken. And then he was like, what if we did like Hank Haney, Shank Haney? And I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is like, I literally felt like our third eyes were like, you know what I'm saying? Like just a beam of light, like just back and forth at each other. And so I changed it to Shank Haney. So that was a collaboration with my dear, dear, friend and now fellow New Yorker, Connor, the Bag Bandit.
Yeah, you started telling us that story. So he lives 3 miles away from you now.
He literally lives. So the story with Connor is that he had been in Portland. He and his girlfriend had been in Portland for 9 years. So they were kind of like, I mean, Portland's amazing. He was just ready to try something new. And so He had landed on New York. They had a lot of friends here. I mean, New York City is the best and easiest place to move to. And, you know, it just kind of worked out. So they got here the first week. They, believe it or not, they drove into New York City on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
And like gallivanted around for New Year's Eve. And now he just got back from LA. They were doing a group golf therapy event with the Southern California Golf Association. Yes. It's amazing. Junior Golf Association, I should say. It was a really cool thing. So he just got back. I'm going to see him on Thursday. He and I have a big old date.
How fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take him. So he lives in the West Village. So he decided that his first apartment in New York City was going to be in the fucking West Village. So whatever.
Whatever.
That's fine.
He's whatever. Watched too many Friends episodes.
Yeah.
Is Safari Liz dead? Because I personally really like Safari Liz.
Safari Liz is gone, but not forgotten.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, I think that also like a part of her lives in all of us, to be quite honest. Like,
yes.
I mean, she'll speaking never die to me. Like, I feel like I think she was a teacher to me. You know, she taught me much. Oh. And, you know, she'll never be gone. That was who you were when I met you, you know? And I was like, that girl, she seems really cool. Like, I want to be friends with her.
Can you believe it? I love, like, there are moments where I literally am like, rest in peace, Safari.
Pour some out for Safari.
I know. Honestly, she was, part of me wishes that the person that I am today could have been this version of Safari Liz. But I'm thankful for her, you know, like I'm thankful for that chrysalis that I was in.
You have.
Now I'm a butterfly
of
Shank, but my chrysalis was Safari. Do you know what I'm saying?
So much. Totally. So much. I'm there. I'm all the way there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can relate. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy. Safari Liz is dead.
So we've got to take things in a completely different direction. So we've been curious about this topic, but we don't really feel like reading anything long form, which is probably what it would take to have a good understanding of it. So we're trying to learn about it kind of the old fashioned way. So like word of mouth, just asking around. So would you play in Saudi Arabia if they invited you?
what a deep, okay, go hard right hitting. To it.
Yeah.
Well, no. In short, no. But this isn't a but, like, I'm going to justify why I would.
Don't worry.
I would not.
There's no wrong answer here, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not.
This is educational.
Although I did have, so my dad's father, so my grandfather on my dad's side, was actually, he lived there for a few years with his wife, my grandmother. I don't know why I said it like that. With my grandmother. His wife.
Some chick.
His old wife. His old hag of a wife. My grandmother. But they lived there. And they, like, I remember they had passed away when I was young. But I do remember having, obviously, they were white people living in Saudi. So it's not, you know, they weren't Muslim or they weren't, you know. So when they were living there, they had like a wonderful time. They loved it. Everybody was so nice there. And, you know, they had this lovely experience there. And then this would have been like in the 70s, 60s. This is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But no, to answer your question, what are y'all's answers? I'm so curious.
Well,
now.
What prompted it was because, and I mean, with the order of it, I was like, okay, this doesn't make sense anywhere. So let's just put it at the beginning.
Whatever.
I was thinking of it because I saw a tweet from Chain Lowry today that was like, I'm not a politician. Like, yeah, I'm playing in Saudi Arabia. And I was kind of like,
dude,
I don't love that. But I think for the women, it's so different because it's like such a huge purse and like, it's the only one of its kind a little bit, but it also obviously like as a woman is also like super conflicting. So I just think it's so interesting to like look at and just like, really, I don't know what I don't think there is a right answer, honestly, you know, like,
I mean, honestly, I think I would like to, like the, you know, big old woman in me, I would like to think that if I was playing, I would still not, you know, I would like to think that my moral compass, but I don't play for money anymore. You know, like, I don't do that. But, and also, like, sidebar, I'm so over the whole, like, I play golf, like, or like I do this so I can't.
Oh, like the just dribble? Yeah, like obviously that's, you like very not right now.
I mean, anything like, sports, you
it's not
know,
very
we can't
cheap.
Have
it's
any
not. It's like it's really very. Not. It's very and like I, early aughts or something, you know? It, like
I was having this. So Maya and I, Maya Reddy, my Northern Star, and I were, we were having a conversation about this, and she was talking about how, like, she's a child of the 90s, she's Asian, Tiger was like her, you know. And I was like, Maya, who did Tiger vote for? And she was like, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm not, I mean, obviously, like, I think that, again, like, who I am now and the way that I view, like, my relationship with golf now is a lot different than it was when I was still playing. Mm-hmm. It's healthier now, but it also isn't, like, playing wasn't my job. So if there was a huge purse and I got invited, who knows? You know, yeah, I can't really make that call for myself anymore. But now, no, I wouldn't go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, hey, 1,000%, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just curious, you know, because you can actually see it, like, from, you know, the professional side, which is like, you know, like,
I mean, shit.
Yeah. Or you could go and, like, act up, you know, maybe not so much that you'd get, like, you know, but
actually,
you know. Well, that's a real concern. That would be true. A concern, right? That has happened. So
yeah, I don't want to become a, like, a fucking, I don't want to become, like, detained because I was too rowdy at the fucking golf tournament.
Right.
But then I'm also like, but do I? Wait.
Yeah. Well, because I was looking at some of the propaganda, and they have, like, some, like, they teach, like, a girls clinic there, mm-hmm. which is, like, I don't know. It makes me just more confused about everything, I think. Mm-hmm. This is my reading because I did pictures. I saw some pictures. And I was like,
I was going to say,
this propaganda is fascinating, you know?
I still love, I can't get over the Shane Lowry, like, I'm not a politician. It's like,
yeah, and I'm so disappointed because I was like, I love you. Like,
oh, he's so cute.
I love him.
He is the sleeper of who I would make out with on the PGA Tour. He's my sleeper. Like, we have our obvious, like, Rory McIlroy, obviously, Tommy Fleetwood, obviously, but then, like, Shane Lowry? Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard definitely for me. Just, I love Irish people.
I was going to say.
Like, I've met versions of Shane Lowry out and been like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Actually, Robbie and I were talking about this because he was like, yeah, like, I grew up with, I've known Jen for a long time. And I was like, yeah, dude, do you know she knows how to, like, Irish dance? And he's like, yeah, bitch, everybody in Boston does. So I was like, oh.
as if it's because I was a famous Irish step dancer and not just because I tell people in my adulthood now.
No, it's not that you tell people, you show people.
Yeah, exactly.
You do.
You actively dance.
Full performance. I'm an artist. In the middle of many parties.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And
how else will people know?
That's what I'm saying. Because people are probably going to be like, yo, bro, no, you don't. And you're like, oh, yeah? Give me my clogs.
The argument never
happens.
Give
me my wig.
Because it's just like, right.
There's no time. There's no time between the telling and they're like, oh, my God, then do something. It's like, oh, I couldn't. Okay.
You're already.
Was doing it at the wedding this weekend in a hotel room at the after party.
You are the after party.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's amazing. But no golf in Saudi Arabia for me.
Okay. Love that.
Yeah.
That is the right answer. Okay, moving on. So anyway, back to the States. How is the new gig going for you? How are you liking it? And what are the shifts? Just tell us everything.
Mm-hmm. So when I talked to y'all last, I had accepted an assistant position there. So, like, there was a team of three of us. I kind of oversaw the women's program and I really focused on teaching, whereas my counterparts kind of had their own, you know, umbrellas that they focused on. And I, honestly, it was wonderful. I mean, like, Seawayne, the club that I teach at, is a very, it's like the epitome of, like, a hidden gem. It's right next to this golf club that's called Rockaway Hunt Club, which is, like, waspy heaven.
Okay.
You know, like, it is, I mean, it's beautiful. It's right on, like, you know, it's right on the water and they have the big old expansive clubhouse. Whereas Seawayne is, like, right next door. It's a way better layout, but it's not as, you know, it's a Jewish club versus an old waspy club.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a much different group of golfers that's there. So it's a slightly older membership as well. So I, like, it's just so fun. Like I have so many students. I have 3-year-olds and I have 92-year-olds that I get to teach out there.
Wow. Oh,
Charlie, my boy Charlie's 92 and he absolutely like is sharp as a tack and like truly wants to get better. So I get to see a lot of my like beloved, I get to see my character actors there. It's amazing. This past year into next year, I also get to just teach next year. So I'm going to be the lead teaching professional, which I'm so excited about.
Wow. Congratulations.
That's sick.
Y'all, it's like this past year has just been, I mean, no doubt I've like worked incredibly hard and all that stuff, but there have been moments where I'm like, what's it called? Imposter syndrome max. Yeah. Holy shit. But thank you. I'm really excited about next year. And then I also teach at an indoor facility in Soho now that's called the Burrows. It's on Broadway and Houston, which is
cool.
You know, it's crazy because it's like prime time, like Soho, New York. And it's like this little hidden gem of a place too. So,
wow, sweet.
Yeah, I'm just teaching. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I have my own freelance projects that I get to work on, which is pretty fucking.
Oh, we'll get to those, sister.
Oh, boy.
Oh, if you want to plug, you will get to plug.
I'm literally, yeah, plugging all over the place, but plugging and chugging. But yeah. So since I talked to y'all last in terms of like my C-Wayne life, I get to just teach and it's fucking like, you know, obviously there's not nearly enough representation of women on the teaching side of things, especially like in a lot of subgroups in New York City, in any teacher that's under the age of, you know, 35. You know, like there are just so many of these, like there are fantastic women golf professionals that I know that are on the club side of things. Not, I mean, playing, yes, mm-hmm. but even like, in the Met section alone, there are so many fantastic women and, you know, they either don't get the platform that they deserve or, you know, there's always some lack of representation there. So I'm really excited to just be able to be like, yeah, I just teach now. I don't have to, that's my focus. You know, it's pretty sick.
I love that. And we actually have one question about another specific student. Your favorite student, actually, dare I say, your boyfriend. Seems like he's been making some really serious strides. And
dude, you guys.
But like, what's like, what are the pitfalls? What are the benefits? Like, do you recommend being your significant other's golf coach? Like, you're a professional, so it's a different story. But
right.
But so, it's really, it's so nice to see, honestly.
Yeah.
It seems lovely.
He is like, I'm not trying to cry in the club, but he's my best fucking friend. But so when we met, he, like, of course, like a lot of other people that don't really know me or that are getting to know me, they're like, you play golf, you teach golf. I'm like, mm-hmm. Ding. Like, I'm like, like what, opening up those floodgates. But he had a very similar story to a lot of other people. He played golf a lot when he was a kid with his dad, his grandfather. As he got older, it wasn't super cool to go hang out with your dad on the golf course. There was no other kids that did it his age. He's from Mansfield, Ohio, which is Shawshank Redemption.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, wow, like kind of, that's like the big, like, it's the big one, but it's, you know, a small town in the Midwest. So it's not like there's golf courses galore all around. So he kind of lost touch of it. And then when we started dating, this was also COVID. This was like early COVID. So we could go to a driving range. We could go, like, we had so many things that kind of worked in our favor, or his favor, I should say. And that guy, he's really getting good. I mean, his low round to date is 92.
Wow.
Love that.
Yeah. That's really good.
He's fucking killing it. And I, like, he's now at a point where he can practice more so than just like trying to hit the ball. You know, he can practice with a little bit more like specific intent. He can know what he does wrong. He can, like, he is my star student. I'm so proud. But yeah.
So are we, honestly.
Honestly, like, in terms of teaching your significant other, I don't know how many times I get the whole like, well, I tried to teach my wife, or I tried to bring my wife out here, but she doesn't listen to me. And I'm always like, is it her or is it you? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, so I can say that he has a great coach. I could say that he can have a great coach in terms of somebody that can deliver information in a kind way versus like some crotchety old man being like, well, you're doing this wrong. Or, you know,
yeah, definitely.
So I think that if you and your partner have that kind of, like, if you guys are fucking nice to each other, sure. Yeah. It's great. Like, go play, have a good time, or give each other tips. And I mean, that being said, he teaches me how to do a bunch of things that I have no fucking clue, cooking or not cooking related. He teaches me things all the time that I'm like, whoa, great. So, yeah. So I don't know how many times I'll ask him. He's a chef. So I don't know how many times I'll be like, what actually is garlic? And he'll be like, he'll tell me like the genealogy of garlic and shit. So it's all, he pays it forward in a lot of ways.
Sounds like a lot of information is being exchanged, which sounds,
yeah. Lots of nice. Wow.
Yeah.
How exciting.
He is like the ultimate. I always joke around and I tell him like, you need to do like if Bon Appetit, obviously like Bon Appetit's the only one that comes to mind, even though they're shitty, but I just think of like something like Bon Appetit. I'm like, you should do something about this because people would fucking like love him. He's just like so, he's just like warm, sweet, really smart, really not 138 IQ, ladies.
I mean, yeah.
So he's got it all. He's the best. He's so But yeah, he's my star student and I'm his star like question asker.
Well, we kind of were talking, and I'm laughing because our question is advice for beginner golfers, because I still sort of think that we all think of ourselves as beginner golfers and we've been golfing for 5 years now.
So yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's kind of funny, but I think that part of, you know, our 2022 resolutions is really like to get a little bit more into practicing and to like try to take it a little bit more seriously. I do think we have said this at the beginning of the year, the last couple of years, but I think we're serious about it now.
We really need this year.
And so, you know, we just kind of want some advice for beginners generally, but specifically around like how to get into practicing. Like, what mm-hmm. is it that like gets you motivated to practice? How do you practice?
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Practice, practice, practice. So it's really funny that you bring this up now. So I do freelance work with Sarah, actually, over at Arcos. And I literally,
love it.
I literally wrote the phrase today. Like, it's about like, do I need equipment or do I need new lessons or lessons? And I literally wrote the phrase, this is the year that you're finally going to get better at golf. And I think that's very poignant. But so, you know, honestly, what I would say, like, I like to think of practicing as the actual job or like the actual work, if that makes sense. So like, even when I was playing full time, I didn't think of myself as, you know, I'm going to go play golf and that's my job. I thought of it as I'm going to practice golf and that's my job. And then the golf, like the playing portion, is just try to relax and try to just focus on that one task or that one shot you have in front of you. So that's kind of what I like to, like, I really enjoy teaching how to practice in my day to day, because so many times people don't do it or they just don't really know. Like, I putted for a half an hour one time once a week, why am I not improving, kind of deal. So a couple of it, like, just little teasers to, you know, think about is like, reflect on your previous experience, like your last round or your last season of golf or however long the time frame you want to be and want it to be, and then think about what really helped your game and then what you want to help your game So like I'm a really great ball striker. It's also all I practice, so it makes sense. But I love having like a crispy ass divot, and that's like my sole my sole reason that I want to have good contact. But that being said, like my chipping and my pitching and my putting is where I want to now start helping my game. So even just realizing that or agreeing to that in my inner monologue, that helps me so much more with my practice. Or if it's vice versa, like just take a little bit of time to reflect on the areas that you want to practice on. That's my first tidbit of advice. Two, consult me, your local pro, whoever is your golf, you know, I don't want to say guru, but like your golf knowledge person, and just see what they have in terms of a specific drill. Like, let's say like my chipping and putting, I really want to improve. Okay. I need to talk to my golf person and see what they say, see what drills they provide for me. Do a little quick Google, you know, that kind of stuff. Like there are just, I mean, look, I'm always going to be a proponent of the local. That's not true. I'm always going to be a proponent of myself.
Yes.
And then after myself, I'm going to be a proponent for the local country club, the local muni or whoever, the local teacher. It sounds so easy. Like this is going to sound like a no fucking brainer, but like talk to them about what you struggle with. And say, like, I need to learn how to practice, not I need to learn how to not swing it so far into out or whatever. Mm. That would be my two biggest tidbits of information. Reflect on what you do wrong or, you know, what you want to improve on, and talk to your local person or me or whoever about it. Practicing is not easy. I mean, you know, it's what is easy is to just go to a driving range and just hit balls for a little bit. What's hard is to say, you know, I'm going to hit five draws and five fades in a row for five sets or something.
Whoa.
You know, like, yeah, dude,
that's a thing.
Okay, imagine that's like, maybe that's 2023.
Yeah. Or like what I mean is like having a specific,
like a goal,
like intent, yeah. you know, like so many times that's the, like, if, you know, if one and two are reflect and consult, number three is to have intention when you're practicing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make 33 footers in a row. I don't, whatever the goal is, just do it. That's the quickest way to build your confidence. That's also the quickest way to practice efficiently. You know, like it's like I would practice, especially in college. I mean, college was different because I had my coach and she told me what I needed to do. My practices were 3 hours long. Sometimes they were four, and I had every minute of that practice was planned out. And that's what I tried to do when I was playing too. So like, imagine you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go practice for an hour and you already know what you're going to do for that hour.
Yeah.
You're like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds way easier.
To follow up on that. And I'm sure it's, you know, different for every buddy and, you know, based on what your intention is, but like, is there generally like a weekly amount of time or a daily amount of time or like some sort of just like guideline of like what you should be striving to set aside for golf for practicing, you know, per week, per month, whatever it is that you recommend to your students?
I do. So unfortunately, yes, it does depend.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
Look, especially with like my kids, if they get really excited about it, I'm like, get a club in your hand
every day,
at least every day for at least a half an hour and do something, like just do one thing. Obviously, these are also for very affluent families that also live. Most of my younger students live within 5 minutes of the golf course. Right, so, wow. You know, but oh,
so lucky.
Long Island is money, but, you know, it really does depend, but I would say this is part of that, you know, reflecting on what you want your upcoming season to look like, or your upcoming round to look like. I would say, honestly, it's like, how much do you value improvement in a lot of ways? And, you know, it's, It's easy to say like, ah, I want to get better, but it's really difficult to say, I want to get better at my wedges inside of 50 yards. This is how I'm going to do it. If that's the case, like you guys, you're like, I actually want to get better. I would say try to practice at least twice a week for 2 hours during those like two hour long practice sessions per week.
Haley's face.
I don't know when I'm going to do that.
I mean, dude, like, obviously this is very, I grew up.
I can't.
Fill it with like four or five different drills that you're trying to
do.
You'll see.
What do I do for 2 hours at a time? My goodness.
I mean, I think like, you know, to get yourself to the range anyway, like once you're there, like you're already there. But like, I think that part of the challenge is like getting to a golf course, right? Like after work or like, you know, I mean, before work, we're not even going to go there today, but like after work, you know,
I love like when the weekend, people are like, I'm going to play golf at 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, get fucked. No, I would never in my life. I will never play golf unless
you're a real golfer.
Have to. I mean, look, I went and played Pinehurst with the RGC crew a couple months ago, and we played at like 6:50 in the morning. That's literally the only time, unless I'm getting paid or like I have a very cool, I'm playing like Pinehurst number two, or like I'm not going to play my Muni at 6 in the morning. Like, hell, I won't play before 10 a.m. Like,
yeah, I'm more of a twilight gal. I think it's prettier. I mean, I don't know what it looks like really in the morning, so
I love to tell.
I don't know what it's like up there, but
I'm sure I can't imagine it looking any better than it does at dusk. I can't
exactly imagine. But yeah, I mean, that's like a really good point though, Haley, like how do I fill up this time? And that's where you rely on your coach, your own, I hate the phrase, do your own research, but like
we don't do any.
It didn't used to be that.
Do your own research. Go talk to somebody who does it for you and then tells you what to do. But like for me with my students, I will literally give them a guidebook on drills, why this happens, or, you know, whatever. So you know what? Scratch the whole reflection. Just talk to someone. Talk to a professional and have them plan it all for you. But I mean, like, I'm telling you, I used to, like, golf wasn't my job. It was practicing. So when I would go practice for fucking 4+ hours every day, I tried my absolute best to have that 4 hours spoken for. Could have been playing. It could have been drills. It could have been whatever. But that really is like the best way to rein in your confidence, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that is what actually does make you good. Cause like, that's something that we've never done. And like, that's probably what we're missing.
That must be the secret sauce.
The secret sauce is practicing. I think intentionally too. Like, I think we've done a really great job at like manifesting it and wanting it, but like, if you're going to actually do something that's worth having, you do need to put in some effort.
Yeah.
And I think that because we're always doing so much like with Gruder Golf that it feels like it's golf, but like it's not,
we're not actually playing
at all. It's just talking about it a lot. Yeah.
And we're hosting other people playing. We're never actually playing ourselves ever.
I rarely touch a golf club.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's hard because that's a lot of our time though too. So it's hard to like then make extra time outside of hosting the events that takes up so much time to like do it. But at the end of the day, I think you always make time for what's important to you. So if it's really important, you'll do it.
Kirsten, you've been
She just went through like such an emotional like. Yeah, she like talked herself into it and then out of it and then back into
I'm back in. I'm back in now. I'm back in on it.
That absolutely brings up a good point. So this is another thing too. Like, even if you say like, okay, I don't have 4 hours of, look, I don't have like 50 hours a week that I have to go in somewhere else. Like, my whole life is golf. So if I wanted to do a fucking putting drill, I could do it literally at any time. But like, if you only have an hour, well, then that's your really productive hour. If you have a half an hour before a round, after a round, that's your time. Like, I think the biggest thing in terms of gaining confidence and actually like starting to play better is to separate, I am hosting a Gruder event, or I'm like just having a good time with my friends versus like I'm playing for a score. I'm going to be sober during this round or whatever, you know? And I think, I mean, I'm the first to say there are, I need to have those party rounds. Like I love getting just, I love having like six beers on the golf course and being like, I'm done after nine. Like I love those days.
That's a fun also, place to drink.
Yeah. It's so perfect. You're like, ugh. But those are also not the days that I'm going to get all pissed off that I make a double or that I three putt or whatever. So it's a lot of, again, like setting parameters for yourself, just like you do in a practice session or whatever. There are so many different types of rounds to play. And you have to like, before you even hit a tee shot, like you can't be like three holes in. You're like, you know what? I'm going to rage now, you know, like you kind of have to, but that's like truly how you perform. Perform better. And plus, like, I mean, think about the pressure that you put on yourself if I told you you had to make 50 consecutive 3-foot putts from the same tee. You know, it's like, okay, maybe putt 1 through 15 isn't so bad, but putt like 35 to 50, you're going to be like, okay, you got to buckle down. And those are like simulating real life practice into real life golf. That's when you get out on the golf course and say, I just made 50 fucking 3-footers in a row. I can make this 3-footer anytime, you know? Wow.
That's inspiring. I like that.
Yeah. You know, I can literally, you guys said it, not me. I can do it all.
You can though. You can. What can't you do?
God. It's true.
And that's actually, I mean, we're going to talk to about one of your other greatest strengths, I think. It is a shame that there's a podcast and everyone can't see your outfit because I think that you're really giving us something right now. You're giving us sexy Hunter.
I am giving Pennsylvania.
You're giving Duck Hunt at Dawn. Like you're
okay.
That's what we're seeing here. So describe your outfit to the people for a moment.
Okay. I have a vintage. It's a Champions hoodie. I'm not going to show you the bottom half. Honestly, it's just sweats. I'm in sweats.
That's okay.
And I am in a Metalwood, the 5-piece camo hat that they do. Have you guys met Cole Young at Metalwood?
Never met him, like, no.
He is like, so what I love about Cole, yeah, he's really funny and he has like a sick brand, but he is like, he's the epitome of the guy that's like really good at golf, but just is a, like treats it as a joke because look, it honestly, it is in a lot of, you know, golf culture, I should say, like people that take, you know, golf culture, yeah. We'll leave it at that, but I don't want to name names, but Cole is.
You can if you want to.
Yeah.
Name him. Name him.
But I do think that Cole, like, he just is in on the golf joke. You know what I'm saying? And I love that. So I'm wearing his Metalwood camo hat and this fucking thing.
That honestly, is very Duck Hunt at Dawn.
My sister got me a Yeti and I'm drinking out of the Yeti for the people that can't,
Yetis
that,
are great,
that there's no video. Honestly, I used to think that I used to think that the Yeti was like the epitome of like middle class fancy, honestly. Like I used to think that like Olive Garden, like those chain restaurants that when you like growing up in a rural place, I was like, that's fancy. That was a Yeti cooler or a Tumblr, that word.
Showing and colors.
So my sister got me this Yeti for Christmas and she's like, dude, Elizabeth, I love these things. My sister is, I have two sisters. You guys, so Jen, you met one.
Yes.
Kiki, oh you God. Met her yeah. too.
Such
Haley,
a treat.
I don't think you would. She is bananas.
She's amazing. Like,
she is wild.
She's a dancer.
She's a dancer and she will like actually do backflips and cartwheels. Like she's crazy and I love it. It's amazing. It's like she, I don't know how many times she's, so for context, she's 40, I'm 29, and she'll be like, Elizabeth, we should go do psilocybin and then like go stand by a speaker.
I love
her. I'm
so
like,
much.
You're insane. No. But
fun.
She's great. She lived in Bushwick. She was here. she lived in New York City for like almost 20 years, and she lived in Bushwick for like, she's great. And then our other sister, Sarah, is the one who got me the Yeti cooler or the Yeti tumbler. And Sarah is like dry, blunt. Not mean. It's not mean, but like, you just have to know who you're receiving. Because if she wasn't my sister, I'd be like, she's a bitch. But then she'll be the one that's like, hey, you look stupid. And I'm like, no, Sarah. So Sarah got me the tumbler, and I open it, and I was like, is this the most me thing that I've ever seen in my life? Maybe. And then she was like, dude, Elizabeth, these things are awesome. I can put a screwdriver in here and it lasts me the whole round. And I was like, that's it.
There it is.
That's it. So I am now channeling. It all comes full circle to your childhood, which is why I'm getting back to my Southern Pennsylvania roots with a Yeti and a camo hat.
It looks absolutely amazing.
I'm really new to Yeti being like middle class fancy. I thought Yeti was just fancy.
I think Yeti is fancy. They're so expensive.
It has, but I think it's reached the point of like brand name recognition that is so known that it's like, you know, people putting the sticker on their car. It's like sick.
Where's the Jeep? Like, honestly, is the Jeep Yeti collab that no one asked for? Honestly, where is the Mountain Dew Yeti collab that nobody asked for? You know what I'm saying? It's like, a mood. It has nothing to do with the price tag, but it has everything to do with, you know.
It's the intention.
The capital V vibe, for sure.
It's the mentality.
Yes. Yeah.
I know. Well, we were asking a little bit about the outfit because one of my favorite things that you do on Instagram is you go through like the lost and found at your country club and all of the amazing finds. Like, I never knew that it was such a treasure trove. So like, do you keep any of those? Or like, can you kind of tell the people what the angle is there? And also your whole thing about like, what is it or isn't a golf outfit? And you wear some amazing outfits. And you're like, this is a golf outfit. And I think it's really changing the way that people think about that. So just you talk on that. Just go.
I have so many things.
Yeah, you do. But
so I love like the kitschy golf shit from no earlier than 2010 or no earlier than 2000, no later than 2010 is what I'm really fucking here for. Like that. Okay. First question. I do steal. I have many things. I have my current head cover on my driver, which is not here, unfortunately. It's this plush Nike driver head cover. It's navy. It's just I stole that. I stole a towel. I really want it. So okay. Again, my club is like this old Jewish club. So my members have oftentimes they've grown up there and they just have like, imagine you're a 70-year-old woman and the stuff that you had in the fucking 70s and 80s when you were playing golf, they don't know what to do with it. So they're like, I'm just going to give it to my club. Somebody will use this Lady Hagen set from 82. Somebody will use it. And then it just collects dust. And ultimately these sets are always called like, Large Marge or like fucking, you know, the Lost Hearts Club or whatever. Like they always just are so perfectly tacky and just perfectly like there's hearts on everything or there's like little Scottish terriers on everything. It's always just so good. So I try to document everything that I see, everything that's, you know, passes my is it cool or not test.
It's fascinating.
My favorite, it is amazing. I mean, the shit that's in there. My favorite, though, is the sunglasses, for sure. Like, there are just so many good sunglasses that, again, Maui Jims, are you fucking kidding me? You know, it's just, there are just so many good sets of sunglasses that I've seen. So I try my best to either document or steal when I can. I say this now, but I don't have any examples of the things
I mean, yes, I've seen so many of them, and they look amazing on you too. And it's just a really fun, like, I don't know. I love a lot of the Bound. I love you know, a thrift shop or something. And it's like both of those things combining with golf.
I mean, and they just always, like, over Christmas, I had bought Jacob a few, like, again, like, just stupid golf shit. Like, just t-shirts, a stupid towel. But I, like, I, there's just something about, like, a saying on a t-shirt, a towel, whatever, that correlates to golf that makes no fucking sense, totally unhinged. And that's basically what I find in our bag room at work.
It's wonderful. It's
treasure trove. I love it.
It's amazing.
I'm going to fall asleep tonight, like, looking on. I've recently, like, if you search a funny, like, t-shirt idea on Amazon, you'll find, like, t-shirts like that that are, like...
there's one. I bought ridiculous golf one. It's so I bought Jacob one that has a donkey that has pants on, and it's like butt. It's kind of, it's like butt, and it's like a, it says like something about like having a big ass and playing golf. Like, it makes no fucking sense. Like, it's just
donkey wearing pants.
It is just completely like, the best word to describe it is truly unhinged. And then they'll just be like, he's holding a golf club.
Yeah, life is full of important choices. It's just pictures of like a driver, an iron, like a couple wedges and a putter. It's like, is that an important choice? I'm also seeing a Life is Good golf shirt, and I think I'm gonna buy it.
Wear it. I mean, look,
and, like, and honestly, life also, is good. Life is good, friend. Shout out.
Like, that is a sponsor us, but that is kind of like the beauty of all of this is that, like, with this old stupid golf shit, it's never really bad. Like, it's never really ugly.
Yeah.
Like, and people, like, golf and nostalgia are, like, synonymous. It's like, you know, they go hand in hand. And so when you see, like, Jacob's uncle has a set of golf clubs that are literally called the Large Marge. It's a driver, a 5-wood, a 3-wood, and a 5-wood. And I'm like, what the fuck? I put that on my story once, and so many people were like, my mom had those clubs. I know those clubs. I used to play. Like, there are just so many people that have these ties and memories to this dumb golf shit. The second part of that is, like, trying this whole, like, social experiment of what I can wear on the golf course before I get spoken to is something that, one, it started as like a fun thing, but then two, as all things do, I realized how correlated it is to my experience as a child. What's up? But of course, I just, like, there were definitely times where I can remember at every point of my, like, age, like, I was young, I was a teenager, I was in college, I played on tour, where somebody told me that I couldn't wear something, but it's, like, not anything bad. Like, like, I wore a racer back tank top once. I was told I couldn't wear that again. You know, I'll never
forget. Yeah, shoulder blade, the tits of the back.
That's what I'm saying. It's, like, there are no... like, there's no offense to the way that your body is, regardless of how you look and what sport you play. So, like, why are you out here telling, like, a 18-year-old girl that she can't wear something?
I mean, especially the back. The back is the least offensive body part.
I mean, this scoliosis that I have gives me curves, but, like, not the good kind. But, so... like, even I remember too, when I was a kid, I was playing in a US girls qualifier, which is the USGA event for under 18-year-olds. And I played it at Marion, and they told me my skirt was too short. And I was a kid. I was, like, literally a child. And, you know, so now, like, going, I wish, obviously, like, when I was younger, I always wish that I had this sense of, like, go fuck yourself, kind of like, I'm not the problem, you are, kind of mentality. But that's really how this experiment is still propelled, because I'm like, this is for 15-year-old Liz that, like, couldn't wear that one shirt she really wanted to, so now I'm gonna just do it. or it's going to be like a mesh bodycon dress or something. Like now it's just,
I actually know where you could get one of those. Yeah. I mean, hey, revenge is a dish best served cold and aggressive.
That's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. Or in my case, hot and on a platter.
Hot and on a platter.
Hot and juicy
and thrown in your face.
Bam. But that's where that whole idea kind of, it started as a fun thing. And then I was like, actually, fuck this. I'm going to take this and run with it and see like what ridiculous shit I can wear out on the golf course. And I haven't gotten spoken to since.
Now, are you wearing this at the course where you work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like if I'm just going to go play like,
that's boundary pushing.
You know, wherever. That's what I'm all about.
I know, but for your place of work.
What about for your lessons?
Bust down. So when I first, so oftentimes, I mean, this year is going to look a lot different for me because I don't have to be like in a pro shop. So basically I'm just going to show up in like a cat suit. No, I'm kidding.
Love it. But,
No, I'm kidding. But like I had to, so like even when I first started and things like my tattoos, things like my hair, I was like, man, you're going to have to like rein it back. And then I was like, okay. So I started like very much in the like polo, past my fingertip length skirt, like skin suit.
Started
like
the one end of the spectrum.
Yes. Yeah. And then I was like, I think I could like show a tattoo. So then I just kind of like continued to like peeled it back a little bit to be, you know, a little bit more authentic to myself. And I mean, honestly, if you can present your best self forward, like if you're most confident in what you wear, you, like where's the holdup? You know, like it's, if I feel like if I have like just a polo and a pair of fucking trousers on, that's not how I feel. Like that's not how I like to play golf. So that's not what I want to give to a student that's paying me money.
I feel like that's, you know, not fair saying? To you for you to have to wear that outfit. I feel like that is, I couldn't even imagine you wearing that outfit.
I mean, sounds that's terrible. That's the highest compliment. That's the highest compliment anybody's ever given to me honest. Like, and I think too, like, again, it just helps. Like golf is going through a huge change, which is amazing. And it's also like not changing fast enough in a lot of ways. And so, I just want to be able to make my friends that didn't grow up in golf or my friends that are now trying to get into golf, I want them to be able to see. That's the first thing that prevents people from going and playing golf is what they're going to fucking wear because they don't have a polo and a knee length skirt or whatever. And so that, you know, if I can help somebody feel a little bit more comfortable just by that, oh, fuck yeah. I'll fucking do. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Sign me up. And it also gives me a chance to just have all the attention on me, which is ultimately what I want. So
love hey, it.
You deserve it.
As it should be. Like, you're welcome, everybody.
Right?
Yeah. Free. It's free. Can you believe it?
It's free. I love
you're
that.
You're welcome.
I love that aspect. It's free, baby.
All right, we're going to switch gears real quick. Any final thoughts on costumes or...
costumes? Well, honestly, that's the best way of thinking about it.
That was like the all-encompassing your golf costume. Topic.
Yeah.
It's not a uniform.
No, it's like... No, I would say that my uniform is like anything else but what I wear on the golf course. Oh, that was actually another really funny... What, a couple weeks ago, Jacob... Because I was like eye rolling and I was like, I have nothing to like wear. And Jacob was like, what you wear on the golf course is just how you dress like socially. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. It was crazy.
Which is awesome. That's so fun.
Yeah, it was a very sweet. I don't think he knew what he'd just done.
Like what he like, just I don't, tapped into.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So we'll see.
That's great.
But anyway, yeah. Switching gears.
Switching gears. You already talked about her a little bit, but we want to hear more about Maya Reddy and the podcast. You're doing a podcast with her and it's coming out soon?
Yeah. So we started, so we've recorded two episodes and they get better like second by second. It's really great. But so it's called the Loose Impediments Podcast and it's really fun. Because and it was funny, like, of course we, like, you know, well, y'all literally know how this goes, but like, you have so much you want to say or do or whatever, so you just start. And then Maya was like, wait, we don't have a name. And I was like, ooh. So we were trying to think, so this is getting a little ahead, but whatever, c'est la vie. But Maya and I have very similar backgrounds. We were hardcore players. Golf was very introduced at us at a super young age. We've seen it all. Where we start to separate is that Maya casually is at Penn for law. So she's in her third year of law school.
Wow.
Yeah, she's actually in her last semester, so I'm very proud of her. So now
that one's the fun one. I heard that those ones keep getting better too. That the first one's really bad.
She did say, she went back to her break was over yesterday, and she was like, my first day of class was great. And I'm like, that's amazing. And she's like, I don't know what that means though. But So Maya and I actually got introduced through the group golf therapy boys, and Maya was their first guest. And yeah. I listened. I had just become, as one does, I became internet friends with Brad, who is like, I'm so like, I wish that I met all these people when I was still playing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, depending on how golf is introduced to you, it can really like, you just get cuckolded in like to one channel or like one way of thinking that's how it has to be done. And so I got connected with Brad last year. We just met on the internet and met on Instagram, and we just kind of became very fast friends. Again, he's like the warmest. He's so wonderful. And so he was like, I got connected with Drew and Connor. And then I listened to their episode with Maya, and I was like, this bitch has a lot to say. Like, she's cool. She, you know, and she, and I just, again, became super fast friends. So Brad was playing in a scramble charity event here, just outside of the city. Maya's in Philly. So we like had this like cute little like internet romance. And then we all came together and were able to play. We played on Brad's scramble team, and it was so like,
oh my God, I think I remember this.
I remember
it on the internet. I remember you guys met. Oh my God, summer. Cute.
It was literally like hot summer. It was so fun. And Maya and I have a lot of shared good, bad, and ugly within golf. I mean, obviously, so also for context, Maya's Desi. She's also lesbian and very much on the forefront of, she's a champion for inclusion in golf and really goes so much more than just supporting LGBTQ plus athletes in golf. It's like, this is her life's work. Like, this is what she's writing her papers on in law school. Like, you know, this is her whole career. And, so when we kind of realized that what we were really passionate about kind of overlapped, we were like, we have to work together. Like, we can't not, again, we both have so much shit to say about golf that we have to come together. So basically, you know, the boys had always joked with us about like, hey, when are you guys going to start a podcast? La, la, la. And Maya was like, okay, we'll get to it. And then we recorded our first episode. It's still, both episodes are still in the editing process. And I was like, Maya, I think this is like really fucking good. And then we recorded our second episode, and I was like, shit, this is really fucking good.
Is it out already?
Yeah. No, it's
okay,
not.
Okay. I was Connor, like, did I miss this somehow?
Yeah.
Cause I stalk you clearly. So I'd be shocked if I missed something that you're doing. Like
every new story.
Do you have me right a limited up. Profile?
No, they are not out yet. They are still. So I'm going to be honest. I don't know how to edit. We use
Riverside. Oh my God,
Riverside.
I'll help you. If you need help.
Connor is offline. Our big edit boy.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Connor is our big edit boy, and they just had that crazy killer event. So, Connor, if you're listening to this.
He better be listening to this.
Well, no, here's the thing. I have an outstanding episode with them that I haven't edited yet. That happened in December.
Set it to Connor.
You're listening.
It all comes together.
It's tit for tat. It's truly. I feel a little bit better now. He was moving. I don't know what my excuse was. The holidays.
It's okay. But yeah, so that's kind of like how we got introduced. And then we just realized that, you know, obviously golf was founded to serve white cis hetero men. So like when we really kind of started having those big conversations, we realized like, okay, she had a lot of different experiences because of the fact that she's not a white woman and she's not hetero. So, you know, and my experiences were much different than hers. So it's just so fun to just honestly, again, talk shit about golf, but you know, it's just, it's so fun to be able to finally be able to have a platform and a group of people that support that different perspective. And yeah, Maya, again, my Northern Star, she is she's such a special person, and I hope that her trauma and negative experiences in golf, I hope that she can use that in a way that now becomes healthier for her, because that's ultimately what I had to do, or like that's what I have been able to do, I should say. Yeah, she's my killer.
Wow. Yeah. I'm so excited to listen. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
It's going to be really fun. I really hope that, I mean, actually, I hope it's not well received. I hope you are fucking like, oh my God.
Make some headlines.
It's really fun. And I can't wait to hear what people say. It's going to be,
oh my God, so excited. Wow. Start some shit. Let's go.
Hey,
wow. How exciting. Someone's gotta. Wow. Okay. So everybody, that brings us to the end of really our questions, but obviously before you go, we wanted you to plug your Patreon because we were just saying before you came on, we're like, we need to become patrons. First of all, I love Patreon and I love you. So it just kind of makes sense.
Actually, I'm not trying to. I love that. I'm not trying to. Actually, no, I fully am trying to be self-fulfilling. I have a ton of really good drills on there.
Yes.
Oh.
So I think that would actually really help y'all. And I mean, look,
I'm going to like the content. Like, I know. Like, it's not a question. It's only a matter of like, why haven't I done it yet? You know what I mean?
So. I mean, so my Patreon, you'll never guess what it is. It's shank.haney. So you can also find it. I have a link tree in my bio on Instagram. Instagram is really
like. You need
to
follow her on Instagram. You need to. Just do it.
Do you know how many times I snicker? Like literally I'm about to post something and I'm like,
because you're a star and you're an artist. So
you are an artist. Thank for
you.
Sure.
You really are. Thank you. It's
guys. Thank you.
You're doing it. You're really doing it.
Keep going.
Keep going.
We can all
it's
night.
All
you
recorded.
Know what?
You can really
we're gonna
to
let
it.
You go.
But yeah. So my Patreon kind of like Instagram is where I just let her all hang out. Let that Yeti tumbler fly out everywhere. But my Patreon is a little bit more. There's goofy playlists on there. There are just like feelings about golf that I have. It's a little bit more detailed, but it also has a ton of some drills that I use a lot, even for myself or for my students. So if you ever need a little bit of zhuzh to fill up your practice,
yeah,
you
4 hours
can definitely,
a week. We're gonna need some zhuzh, I think.
So, you will find it there, but it's if you yeah, it's just shank.haney, or you can find it on my Instagram bio.
God, amazing.
Love it.
Well, Liz, we really cannot thank you enough. It was such a pleasure to talk to you yet again. I think
always.
This might be a January tradition.
Yeah.
Love it.
Literally, who knows where the fuck will be next
what better,
January.
What better way to start the year, you know? Yeah. I feel like this is really, getting us going.
It is.
This is wild.
Can't wait to practice.
Oh, very.
I can't wait to practice.
I wish it weren't negative 5 degrees right now, because there's no practicing to be done for the foreseeable future for me.
But. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Connor and I are doing this really fun project about he's going to break par this year, and he's like, I want to play once a month, and I was like,
January. Then?
It's. Yeah, I'm like, the real feel outside right now is 3 fucking degrees. What are you talking about? But no, seriously, thank you guys for having me on. I honestly, like, really feel like y'all are the leading, like, we are in the battle of fucking Troy right now, and we're going to win this bitch. We are infiltrating from within on changing the golf community and changing the golf, like, actual, like, again, perception of what a golfer is or what a golf teacher is or whatever. So I appreciate you guys giving me the platform, and let's fucking party. Hey, like, I don't know
you
what
doing
else to
what
say.
You're doing. Honestly, they haven't got rid of any of us yet. Right. So
yeah,
like little roaches. We're going to be here till the bitter end. So buckle up.
And then we're gonna find you belly up when you're somebody's right? gonna tour your apartment and see you belly up, you know,
and dance in your grave. Okay, well, with that,
we're gonna wrap this up.
All right, guys, everybody, thank you for listening so much. We love you. Until next time, hang loose, swing easy, and we will see you out there.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Maybe pink like the skin that's under, babe.